If there was ever a day that intro was applicable, it is today. I'm telling you right now, folks, there is something in the air. You can feel it. It's different. The appointments today, absolutely incredibly well. I'll just say this. President Trump is coming back, and he is coming back with a vengeance. Now, again, this is not a vengeance, you know, hateful. This is restructuring our out of control bureaucratic deep state led government. And he's about to clean house. We're getting into that with here, Randy Taylor is going to be joining me. Before I get to the program, by the way, today is Wednesday, November 13, 2024, a day that will live in infamy, I guarantee you. I should have brought my squeegee in here to show you the blood and brain matter I had to scrape off the windows driving over here. You know, just out of the blue, you see somebody who voted for Harris and big Harris supporter, and bang, their heads explode after hearing the news about the appointments. And then the rush out of the DOJ is something to behold, folks. Before we get into the program, hey, I want to talk to you about slashing your energy bills. I'm telling you, a great little device, and this is one of the best purchases I made. Don't waste power. Don'twastepower.com. Don'twastepower.com. That's where to go for this. Get yourself two, three of them. Look, our electricity bills in the U.S., and I'm sure wherever you're listening to, look, they've set up just record highs this past summer, all because of the power companies. You know, they're working for their shareholders, but more importantly, it's the governmental policy positions in my view that have led to this. Well, if you feel like you can't do something, you can. I'm lowering my energy bills with the help of that awesome little device. I absolutely love the cost savings it gives to me, thanks to the device that you see on your screen, and you can certainly get at don'twastepower.com. I can help cut down my electricity costs. I can beat the power companies, keep more money in my pocket every month. That's the big thing about it. I noticed double digit savings. Okay. Now that's significant, you know, 10, 11% roughly. And it, 1 month, I think it was pretty close to 20. I look, without doing anything different, except for that little device. Folks, please visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Or just click on the link in the description box below to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills up to, what, 66% off? I mean, the deals are endless. Free express shipping and several other bonuses with every order completely for free. That's don'twastepower.com. All right. As I'm saying, this is a historic day. And with me to share in the glee, but cautious optimism. I say cautious optimism because there, you know, look, I understand some of the appointments, you know, one, maybe two, at least one is a head scratcher, but we'll get into that later. But the fact that Matt Gaetz was tapped for the Department of Justice, and rumor has it, I don't have this 100%, but rumor has it, Kash Patel for the FBI as soon as there's a vacancy. My understanding, there's going to be a vacancy at 12:02 on January 20th at the very latest. And Kash Patel going in there, according to rumor, well-sourced rumor, that's going to be fantastic. But with me to talk about all of this and more, this first hour is Randy Taylor. In hour number two, I'm going to be joined by Austin Brower to talk about this and more as well. But Randy, how are you, sir, tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing tonight?
You know what? I'm entertained. Okay. You know, what we saw in 2017 with President Trump going into that office was really a neophyte. The guy's a businessman, and this is my take on it. I don't look at him as a hero. He can't do everything. When I say a hero, I don't look at him as this cult like. Yeah, he's not a savior, okay? Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's a guy that we asked to do a job. And by the looks of it, he's going to do that job. And I want to say this at the outset. I don't have this in the show prep. But, you know, some of the cabinet positions, well, all the cabinet positions have to have Senate approval, Senate confirmation. Thomas Massie was asked by a reporter about President Trump's nomination of Matt Gaetz to Attorney General. And I'll quote, reporter, will he be confirmed by the Senate? Thomas Massie says, doesn't need to be. We recess. He's the Attorney General. Wait for it. Suck it up. There's that. Yeah, and Matt Gaetz has resigned from Congress, telling us that he's dead serious about becoming Attorney General. So this is no longer a neophyte Trump in office. This is a guy determined to change the way our country is being run, to root out the communists, to root out the globalists, to root out the rot, the culture rot that is embedded in all bureaucratic agencies. And again, look, he's not the end all. He can't do it all in 4 years. Most assuredly, he's going to make mistakes, maybe some in personnel, maybe some in nominations. But the fact is, do you feel it? I can feel it in the air tonight. There.
Surrounding himself with good people. That's imperative.
Yeah, exactly. And on the screen there, you can see that that's from President Trump there, right? That tweet, yeah, about the nomination. But we do have a couple of video snippets to show you both Matt Gaetz in action, and most importantly, the reaction by the deep state gangsters, as Kash Patel called them and wrote about them in Government Gangsters. There's this mass exodus right now that I'm hearing out of the Department of Justice, or preparing out of the Department of Justice, and people there, like, and even some gone from the Department of Justice, but people such as Weissman, Andrew Weissman, the architect, or one of the architects of the Steele dossier, Russia hoax and prosecution, illegal abuses of FISA. Look, you know, there's a whole lot of payback. As a matter of fact, let's go to the 50-second video, and then Randy, we'll get into the discussion. Video 5, cut 5, Steve Bannon. Look, he came out pretty harsh, and he's facing, I should add, yet another Alvin Bragg lawsuit in the state of New York. I think Randy, you and I might have talked about that yesterday, or touched on that yesterday. But listen and watch Steve Bannon promising the leftist lawfare traffickers, the hunters are about to become the hunted. And I take it, you know, again, within the confines, within the guardrails of the U.S. Constitution, this is not about vengeance. This is about justice. And we need to restore justice in this country. Cut 5, and then RT, come on, we'll discuss.
The people rendered their verdict on all this lawfare last Tuesday, 1 week ago. And like I've worked on for years and years and years, The whole country came together. Working class people all over came together, and they rejected what's going on in this court, what's going on with President Trump. The lawfare of Tish James and Alvin Bragg and Jack Smith and Merrick Garland has been rejected by a landslide by the American people. So the one thing I have to say to Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, Jack Smith, Tish James, Alvin Bragg, you wait. The hunted are about to become the hunters. Thank you very much.
So, Randy Taylor, what do you think about that?
I'm glad to hear it.
Okay.
It's been long overdue. And like you said, this isn't revenge. Okay. This is putting justice back where it should have never left. They took it off the shelf, dropped it on the floor, and kicked it across the room. All President Trump is doing is picking that Constitution back up, dusting it off, and putting it back where it belongs. And it will be observed from this day forward.
100% agree with you. Just the reaction by the communist. And again, I don't use that description, that descriptive term, loosely, but you've got a communist element, which is really the globalist element. Yeah. And just their reaction is enough to say, hey, you know what? This is a good pick.
Yep.
So, okay. Good. I mean, we need that house cleaning. We need, you know, for too long. And Randy, you and I have been individually, we've been the recipients of, not like Bannon or anybody, but we've been the recipients of some of the ire of the Department of Justice. And grandmas who are praying, you know, at abortion, at these charnel houses, the abortion clinics, being prosecuted under the FACE Act. The J6ers who did nothing. I'm not talking about the ones who broke windows, the Antifa people. I'm talking about the ones that went in and prayed, being jailed by this Department of Justice.
Yep, like people that weren't even there.
Right. And Douglas Mackey, jailed for a meme back in 2016, 7 years later, to prove a point. We've got to stop, and we are going to stop these people.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not revenge, it's justice.
Yeah. Again, everything, I had two screens instead of my usual three, too. I was watching MSNBC, and I was watching Real America's Voice. And I would switch between RAV and OAN and from MSNBC to CNN. It was night and day, the reactions. And again, I'm looking at this saying, wow, this is really taking place. Now, we've got a little issue, and I want you to address this, because there are some people out there saying, well, President Trump will never be sworn in. You've got Jamie Raskin threatening not to vote on the certification or voting against certification. You've got, I'll share this with you. I didn't get a chance to talk with you off air about this. I have a friend who, an acquaintance, who's part of the president's personal protection detail, separate from the Secret Service, who said to me today, and this is about 3:30, he said, we've received more death threats, or we're handling more death threats against President Trump, Vance, and Tom Homan. Again, this is today at 3:30. Mm-hmm. Than any other day since 2016. And I thought, wow. I mean, we have to pray for his safety, but that by itself should tell people something.
Well, yeah. They're pissed.
Yeah.
They're desperate. They've been found out.
Yeah.
The light is shining in the dark places. The light is shining in the corners now. And there is going to be accountability, and there should be accountability, because these people have taken the law and twisted it to fit their political needs and punish their political opponents. I've never heard of such a thing in the United States. I won't allow it. I'm done. We've been done. And if they want to start playing games with inauguration and all, okay, Mr. Raskin, do your thing.
It's not going to end well if that happens.
It will not. The whole deal will come apart, and I'll tell you what. It'll be a long list of.
You know, we're already seeing some election denial. You know, we...
From people that ridiculed Trump for how many years?
Yep.
Saying we cheated?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Are you kidding me? Kiss my ass.
Amen to that. Bob Casey demanding and getting a recount in Pennsylvania, you know, in the race, in the Casey McCormick race. The shenanigans that we saw in Michigan, in Philadelphia, on Election Day. We still, look, if they want to go down this road, let's open up as we should have. Tried to, maybe, but were rejected. Let's open up 2020. Let's open up 2022 to the extent possible. Let's put it all on the table.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what, this day is going to go down historically as like President Trump's or Nixon's Saturday night massacre, if those people who are old enough to remember that.
Yep.
Different style, but there are different circumstances, but mm-hmm. the same vibe.
Donald Trump is coming in like a boss.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yep. And then you have Vivek and Musk with the, you know, government cleanup agency, DOGE. I'm telling you, they're going to cut, I think, $1.7 trillion, or that's what they're saying. Right away.
Yeah. It's going to be point blank questions. What exactly do you do here?
Yeah. That was the, I think Musk was.
He posted that on Twitter. Yeah.
X, yeah.
But, he said that's the only questions he's going to ask. What exactly do you do here?
There you go. There you go.
And that should have been asked a long time. We have so much pork and fat hanging on our budgets. We could easily operate. I want you to stop and think about the taxes that Americans pay. We should be ahead of the gun here. And all they've done is run us into the toilet.
Amen. And we have to stop. We have to stop this. We have to stop. One of the appointments, and we'll get back to Matt Gaetz here momentarily, but one of the appointments... one of the issues, of course, is the Department of Education. We don't need the Department of Education. That could be done as it was prior to 1979, prior to James Earl Carter at the state level.
Yep.
And remove the indoctrination. I love that. I mean, plus the military, Pete Hegseth. The guy has been, he's being attacked on multiple levels by the press, saying, "Well, he doesn't have the experience." Oh, he sure does. And I think I might have a clip of him, a brief clip of him, saying, "You know, we need to clean house," and I don't know about you, but I look back at the Afghanistan withdrawal. And again, Kash Patel writes about this being in the room. Not being in the room, but understanding, formulating the withdrawal from Afghanistan under President Trump and then seeing it executed under Biden, which they totally, totally messed it up. And it was both the civilian Biden people and the military generals who gave orders that, as a consequence, people died from those orders, from Biden right down through the generals and our military. I mean, how many, 13 American soldiers, an untold number of civilian deaths? That alone, and losing Bagram Air Force Base to the Chinese, leaving all that equipment there, and yeah, that's why President Trump reached outside of the tree in Washington, D.C. You know, but when I say that, I'm talking about the normal or swimming pool of or bucket of names. Hey, I'm not gonna look there. I'm gonna get somebody over here, and that's what he did. So
that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Now check this out. Going back to Matt Gaetz, this gives me a lot of pleasure. Now, I want your take on this, because this was tonight on NBC. This is cut one. It's a minute 40, roughly. And it's about the vibe in the Capitol, in D.C., over President Trump's cabinet selection, his picks. The reaction is priceless. Cut one.
Well, Julie, let's talk about some of the picks that you just ran through. Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth. Do you think that they are confirmable at this point? What's the buzz on the Hill right now?
Well, I mean, I hope you don't forgive me for saying this, Kristen, but the general vibe on the Hill right now is WTF. People are shocked at the news of Gaetz, especially. I feel like I couldn't even get around to getting reaction on Tulsi Gabbard when this pick of Gaetz came down the pike. Senators, Republican lawmakers, even one of them in a closed door meeting said, oh, my God, when they saw the post from Donald Trump. Several senators, I just ran into Lindsey Graham, for example, who kind of brushed me off and said he didn't speak to Trump yet. We'll see, he said, if Gaetz is confirmable, if he's a good pick. Chuck Grassley, who's going to be the top Republican on the Judiciary Committee, working very closely with the next attorney general, he really didn't have anything to say. He stood there for 30 seconds just completely baffled when reporters told him about this. Others like Collins, Murkowski, those who are seen to deflect from whatever Trump tries to do, their press handler is basically pushing us aside. And it is because look at who Gaetz is. He's currently under investigation by the House Ethics Committee for some of these personal misgivings that he's been a part of, some of the things that the federal government has investigated him on and later dropped charges on. He is still very much being investigated by that House committee. A bipartisan sentiment across the aisle is they really can't believe that Gaetz is the one who ended up with this top job. And the question of if he's confirmable, well, you talk about all these picks. This really is the biggest test between Senate Republicans and Trump, and a test of their allyship to him, too.
It sure is, Julie.
So the reaction is WTF, and you've got lawmakers stunned, speechless. So tell me, that's a bad pick, right? I mean, it's not. And I should add, the investigation into Matt Gaetz, folks, you know what that's for? That's for sex trafficking. Which are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even a real investigation. Yeah. But what do you think of that?
Oh, it's to be expected. It's going to be happening across the board. You're going to hear a lot of interesting stuff between now and the 20th. And then even more interesting stuff afterwards. You know, when I had a company, I wasn't looking for experience. I was looking more for the attitude, the honesty, and the loyalty. Because if I had those, and I had some primo people walked in, really didn't know a whole lot about what we were doing. And I took the time to train them. And you know what? I had fantastic employees. I had people that would die for me, literally.
Or die for the mission.
Yes. They were absolutely fantastic. That attitude is more important than anything. That attitude and that honesty. And that's what is lacking in D.C. I mean, absolutely everywhere. D.C. is a toilet, and it's got to be flushed. We don't have any choice. Got to flush. For Donald Trump and his agenda to succeed, there has to be this cleanup. There's just no other choice. There's no other way about it.
I totally agree with you. And I think a lot of, I think conservatives, Christian conservatives specifically, mm-hmm. are very wary.
Mm-hmm. The only ones whining are politicians. And the left out there with their bald heads and promising that they won't force sex on anybody. Those, you know,
that's a good point.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's cool. You know what? Go ahead, do your thing. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to miss you. We'll miss you now. We're not going to miss you anywhere down the road.
The
real whiners are the politicians. Let me tell you something. The ones that whine the loudest are the ones with the most to hide.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi. You know what? Nancy Pelosi's kids have flown on the American dime more than some senators and some
good
congressmen.
Point.
That's no
yep.
joke. They've been all over the world. When she goes to visit a country, these people take contingents of 30 and 40 people with them.
Yep.
For what? You didn't bring me back even a book report. You know what I'm saying? It is absolute abuse at every level, and that is where we can clean up. We collect enough tax dollars to float the boat, and we should be ahead. If you do the math, we should be ahead every time, and we're not. We're not. And where they do decide to save money is places you shouldn't cut corners, like battleships. You know what I mean? They just now brought battleships back out, two of the three that we had. They put two of them back in the water. That should have never been dry docked. You should build more battleships. Because when a battleship pulls up offshore in some foreign land, the shit stops.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? I mean, you have a ship that can hurl something that weighs what a Volkswagen weighs, you know, about 30 or 40 miles inland. The crap stops. We should have battleships, lots of them. What do they do?
Yep.
They built destroyers that actually have wood inside of them. Our naval destroyers, actually, there's wood inside in the building part. That were built with wood in portions of them.
Okay, is that a good thing?
No. They said, well, it makes it fast. Yeah, fast to the bottom.
Yeah.
Last time I went to a campfire, I noticed we were putting wood on the fire, not metal.
And boy, wood gets wet.
Man,
not too good.
Unbelievable. They never should have took the battleships out, you know, off the fleet.
That's true.
And they really need to build about six more.
Well, I agree, and I think our
military is going to really need to be strengthened.
100%.
Because you know, when we go heads up with China, if we ever do, that's going to be a hell of a war. That's going to be a war to remember.
I pray. I mean, we're seeing right now conversations between the UK and the US about supplying Ukraine or giving Ukraine the authorization to use the missiles, the long range missiles against Russia, targets inside Russia.
That kind of discussion is stupid.
Man,
that is people that don't give a damn about human life.
No, that is
stupid. And these clowns that are sitting there and think that Ukraine's actually putting up a good fight are they don't understand war. Russia could have totaled Ukraine in 10 days. This crap needs to stop. This false narrative, this false hope, all of it. The only reason that we're back in Ukraine is because we have people in our government washing money through there and receiving money through their illegal funds. And every time an aid package goes over with all that cash, I guarantee you money's coming back. Don't think it's not. And if we had, that's why they're crapping, because people like Getz are going to get in. Because you know what? We could start tracing that crop. We could. We could start tracing it.
Between the AG, the FBI, perhaps, on certain other...
Think about it. We could open that right up, Doug.
100%.
This is time to shine light in the dark.
Okay. So you mentioned Ukraine. I just want to... 60 seconds. I just want to tell people, look, Ukraine, what we see today, the seeds for what we're seeing today happened or were planted back in 1990 with James Baker III being Secretary of State. He went to Gorbachev and said, you know what? We promise you NATO is not going to move eastward if you, Mr. Gorbachev, agree to the German unification. We saw what happened. The wall came down. Remember that?
Yep.
Okay. Now, the U.S. cheated because in 1994, Clinton signed off on a plan, on a plan to Ukraine. But then in 1999, you had NATO expansion into Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic. This was an unbelievable provocation. So then we saw the U.S. led the bombing of Serbia in 1999, and bombed them for 78 straight days, using NATO, using that growth of NATO. And Russia, of course, didn't like that, obviously. In 2002, the U.S. walked out of the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, and we put U.S. missile systems into Eastern Europe, again, a provocation. In 2004, 2005, there was a soft coup, this color revolution that took place in Ukraine, backed by the U.S., as well as the UK and other Western interests. You had Yanukovych being deposed back in 2009. Enter Victoria Nuland and Clinton, of course, at that time. And then in 2014, the U.S. participated in, that was the overthrow of Yanukovych, I should add. And people might recall that recorded telephone call between Nuland and Piot, the ambassador. Now, so you're looking at this NATO expansion, seven countries, against the wishes and against the security of Russia. And finally, in December 2021, a draft of Russia-U.S. security agreement violated because the NATO bases were expanded. The U.S. and U.K. said no to neutrality to Zelensky. Boris Johnson, along with Biden, you know. So we have been provoking Russia for, 34 years, mm-hmm. at the very least. So, yep. You know, it's not just... It's just not under Biden. This is a globalist plan, but you're right. The money right now is coming back to the U.S. into the hands of the very people that shouldn't have that.
This the reason that they're talking crap on Russia is Russia stopped the Arab Spring. People, you've got to understand the Arab Spring. You have to. It's the only way you're going to understand what this government's been doing for the last 20 years, 25 years. Seriously. And I'm just talking about the Arab Spring. I'm not talking about all the other crap we've done all over the world. I'm talking about the toppling of Middle Eastern leaders that under no circumstances would accept a globalist government with a white guy running it. Okay.
Good point.
Muslims, and I've covered this so many times, I get sick talking about it. Muslims would only agree to a one world government if it's a Muslim running it. It's called a caliphate. People, educate yourself about the enemies. Okay. Don't believe what the Muslim on the corner is telling you. He doesn't read the Quran. He doesn't know how to read the Quran because he doesn't speak Arabic. So he's got some clown in a mosque on Friday going, this is what this is. This is what this is to do. Okay? This is all bullshit. Okay? Yeah. It is. You know it, Doug. I know it. Get an English translation of the Quran. And there's several translations. If you want to know the best one, email me. I will tell you the best one. The one that stands up to scholars and stands up for scholars all over the world. Because there's really, I think there's three, but I'll give you the one of them, okay? Read it, cover to cover. Most Muslims have not read the Quran. They've been gone through and handpicked little things here and there, flowers and puppy dogs, okay? And then the violent part. They want a world caliphate. That's what it's called. It's a caliphate. That's what they want. They dream about that. They kill for that. They'll kill each other for that. And they'll certainly kill us for it. So please understand why there's a problem with Islam. The other problem with Islam, stop with it's a religion. Okay? Islam is a political system that just happens to have a religion attached to it. Okay? This tells everything about a Muslim is governed by this book. You have to understand that. Don't go for what they tell you on ABC or CNN about, you know, the Muslims are peaceful. I don't know how many times Condoleezza Rice used to say that. Islam's a peaceful religion. Then what the hell were we in Iraq for fighting them? We said at the same time we're in the middle of a war with them. Of course, we don't want to call it a war officially. But you have to understand, and we knocked off leaders. We knocked them off. We got rid of Mubarak in Egypt. Got rid of Saddam Hussein. Right? Got rid of Gaddafi. And we were going after Iran and Syria, and Putin said no.
You can trace this back.
We could write this out on a chart.
Oh, man. Yeah.
People, forget everything else, okay? This whole thing, 9/11 forward, is about this Arab Spring, and 9/11 forward was a globalist move. And that's why it's been proven time and time again that 19 guys that couldn't hardly fly a plane, okay, weren't responsible for everything that happened that day. Be advised. Be smart. Smarten up. Your government's sticking it up our butts. They've been doing it and killing us for years. Because globalists don't care about human life. All they want is the globe. The only thing we are to them are potential slaves. Worker bees. That's all we are. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about you. So when you got Bill Gates says, oh, Donald Trump, I want to work with you. I'd invite him to the White House and then I'd arrest his stinking ass.
There you go. Absolutely. Along with a bunch of others.
You got it, Doug. So many people need to go to jail. Especially Gates. You got some computer guy that thinks he knows the gospel on vaccines and hanging out with that little turd Fauci, that little mass murderer. He should already be in handcuffs. Damn it, we've been lied to enough. The shit stops now, and that's what Trump is doing.
And I believe RFK. Look, RFK and Gates, I believe, can and will work together on this, which is why the reaction. This was a visceral reaction today to the just to that one appointment. You know, you had Hegseth, nomination announced. Yep. And then as soon as that happened, the left couldn't even react. Then you had the Gates announcement and they just went apoplectic. I mean, it was a sight to behold. And one person, and I'll toss this video in here. This is an important video because one person, Ken Delanian, if there was ever a mouthpiece for the globalists in the deep state, it's that guy. This is cut to Hagman PI, this show notes. Just click on the title and show notes will be right there. Ken Delanian did not have a good day today. Here's his reaction after the nomination of Matt Gaetz for AG. Cut two.
Well, Katie, I've gotten two different texts from different people at the Justice Department who just used the word insane to respond and react to this potential appointment, and then also questioning whether Matt Gaetz can be confirmed. And one person asked me to research whether anyone had ever been nominated for the post of Attorney General who had been investigated by the Justice Department. We'll have to look into that, but my initial reading is that I can't think of any time that's ever happened in American history. And not only was Gaetz investigated and not charged, we should point out, in a sex trafficking investigation, but he has been perhaps among the top five most vociferous critics of the FBI and the Justice Department, and not just critics, but accusing them of being corrupt and weaponized and unethical at every single congressional hearing that ever, anytime, he's on the Judiciary Committee, and anytime Chris Wray, the FBI director, or Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, or other lower officials have gone before that committee, you could count on Matt Gaetz taking aim at them in very extreme language and accusing them of unethical and corrupt behavior. And so, look, I was over at the Justice Department earlier today doing some reporting on this question of how are career officials responding to this election result? What do they plan to do? There is no plan for a mass exodus among career officials. As Andrew said, they are used to serving Republicans and Democrats. They are used to changing policies on a dime and going from, you know, aggressively pursuing civil rights investigations into police departments, for example, and not doing that at all, depending on who's in office. But this kind of appointment is really striking fear and trepidation in the hearts of the career civil servants over there, because what they revere above all is respect for the law,
yeah,
and procedure and norms. And look, we can't prejudge. I mean, Matt Gaetz may become a different person if he gets confirmed as Attorney General. But what he's shown so far as a member of Congress is disdain for the department.
He should. Go ahead.
He should have disdain for him. These people have been, they have taken the justice system and totally warped it, corrupted it, stepped on it, smashed it, flushed it down the toilet, pulled it back out of the septic tank, and tried to mash it again. Matt Gaetz, I hope he has disdain for them. Mm-hmm. And these career, you know what? Anywhere and anybody out there that can hear my voice, you've worked with someone in your company or where you work, government, private enterprise, corporation, whatever, you've worked with career people.
Yep.
9 times out of 10, they ain't worth a damn. You know, when I had my companies, I never once hired somebody out that had a college education. I refused. Laziest son of a bitches I ever worked with went to college.
Yep.
I kid you not. And him having disdain for these people, we all have disdain for him. All the patriots have disdain for the Justice Department. Look at J6. Why wouldn't you have disdain? They shit all over American citizens for having a protest. And when the blacks were burning down the cities and killing people, Washington was more interested in setting up things that they could call and get their bail posted. And Antifa,
yep,
making sure that we didn't hold them in jail too long, the little Antifa fairies.
That's right.
You know what? It's time. It's time for hard nose. And people like Lindsey Graham better straighten his act up. I know. I'm serious, Doug. We got some pukes in these legislative houses. And people like Maxine Waters. Enough. What the hell is she even in there for?
Because people, voter fraud and people.
Because she's black and a female.
Yeah. There you go.
That crap's got to go. We are done with, we have to have a female president. Listen, if one steps up that happens to be qualified, by golly, I'll vote for her. But so far, you've only pulled them out of your butts and thrown them up front and this novelty thing. This novelty. Oh, we need a black president. We need a woman president.
Woman president.
What next? We need a tranny president? I mean, come on. Where does it stop? We're running the most powerful country in the world. We are the most powerful country in the world. And nobody would ever mess with us. In the last 4 years, I'm surprised we haven't had missiles dumped right in D.C. from our enemies.
No, we had spy balloons go over, Chinese balloons.
Right over. And look at that admiral creature from Pennsylvania. That thing. Can you imagine that when our enemies look at that and they just go, we have no we have got to get our respect back.
I think it's happening before he... right now, I think it's happening.
Bless that man and God protect that man.
Exactly. And you're seeing international reaction right now. Tom Homan got up. It was interviewed briefly and told the invaders, you know, and those already, well, those already here, start packing because we're coming for you.
We're having a garage sale. We're having a special on Mexicans. Buy one, get one free. How many you want?
Yeah, here they put bus seats.
You got some houses? Houses need drywall? We got the guys for you.
Oh man, you know, and the right, the people on the right using
and that's abusing. Not right. Doug, that's not racist. If you've been in the construction industry,
look in New York City. I mean, I used to see when I was there. A lot of people from Mexico, men from Mexico, mm-hmm. lined up at Home Depot and Lowe's waiting for their job. You mm-hmm. know, and it's not, we could have an entire show on that, but.
Yeah. And they'll work. Don't get me wrong. They will work and work hard.
But come here legally ports of entry, not through.
Thank you.
You know, don't do that. But you know, getting back to Matt Gaetz, the disdain by, as you mentioned, you know, people like Lindsey Graham being horrified at this or being stunned by this and others being stunned by this. You want to know why, folks? You want an exhibit, 45-second exhibit as to why? Well, this is the threat that Matt Gaetz poses to the FBI, to Christopher Wray. This was him, let's see, last year, grilling Christopher Wray about Biden and the Biden crime family. It's only 45 seconds. Here it is, right here. Cut three.
I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI does not and has no interest in protecting anyone politically.
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you.
There, in 45 seconds, we could have continued that for another 45 minutes, but you get the idea.
But guts goes for the throat, and I love it. That Ray guy, I swear to God, Doug, if you and I were out drinking, and I saw him at the end of the bar, I would go down there and hit him with a bar stool. I kid you not. He's a piece of crap. These guys have absolutely corrupted any form of justice. Now I want you to stop and think about that. You're talking about FBI and Department of Justice. These are supposed to be the people that you look up to. These are the people that when you're wronged, you should be able to call them and they set it right. And then appoint attorneys to make it right. No. They have been turned loose on anyone that defies policy that shouldn't have been made policy to begin with. So when you take Biden and people like that, and they make policy, and they pick up the phone, and they go, hey, you know damn good, well, Trump's got some documents over there at his house. Oh, hell, we all take them home. But look, you could bust them for it. We could have We could have such a great day on CNN with this. Oh, absolutely. Listen, call CNN before the FBI. Make sure they're there before we even set foot on the property.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of crap we've been putting up with. And Donald Trump, let me tell you something. I don't worship Donald Trump. I love the guy. Okay. I'll tell you what. I mean, I would work for him in a heartbeat. Absolutely. And I'm disabled. And I would go in a wheelchair and work for that man. Okay. I want to be quite clear. If you're listening, sir. Donald Trump has fought and fought and fought these people. Look at what they've done to him the last 4 years. Look at what they did to him for the last 8 years.
Yeah,
look
10
what
years.
They did to him. Yeah. Look what they did to him since the day he came down that escalator.
Oh, yeah.
It started that day. They were already planning on impeaching him. And don't think I'm joking. And this whole, and every one of those people in the FBI and the justice system that dealt anything to do with that Steele dossier, Hillary Clinton, and the FISA court, every one of them need to be brought up on charges and prosecuted. They ran a sham on a sitting U.S. president to try and unseat him. They wanted to impeach him. That's what they're talking about doing with their little silly ass votes on the 20th or whatever. That's what they're planning on doing. They're planning on impeaching him before he even gets going.
Under
They're trying to stone the guy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Literally, okay? And here's the whole thing. The majority won.
Yep.
You're talking about going against democracy. You're talking about going against the Republic of the United States, which through democratic process voted on your corrupt system, voted and still kicked your ass.
That's true.
And don't tell me you didn't cheat, because damn it, we know you're cheating. You're cheating now, even playing with the seats, Congress and Senate. We knew that crap would stretch out. You know what? You didn't have to count as many people for the Congress and the Senate. How come that wasn't done before Donald Trump was named president?
You're lying,
little bastards. Every one of you is. You're lying. And you know you're lying. Here's the thing. Payday's coming, baby. Every dog has their day. My dad taught me that. And this is all bullshit that's been painted like it's justice, this lawfare. And something else my dad told me. He said, son, you could paint a turd any color you want. At the end of the day, it's still a turd.
That's right.
And that's what we've been living with. A painted turd being passed off as working for us. My ass. I've had bartenders work better for me on a night out drinking than this whole U.S. government's done in the last 4 years.
And they know this, and that's why I think the angst and the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Doug, you know, Doug, the world's ending.
Doug, they might have to work. They might actually have to close down their connections to these countries that launder money for them. Oh, no, there won't be fresh whores at the convention this year. I mean, come on. Enough's enough.
It's all coming together. And you know, again, the difference, going back to what I said, you know, early, there's something in the air about this. It's a lot different. This is not retribution. This is justice. Yep. For once, this is justice. The globalists are afraid and they're desperate right now, which is why we have to make sure that these things get done.
Sure that Donald Trump gets in office. And if they do anything to that man, the response from the patriots in this country should have right or wrong.
Speaking of that, we got about 5 minutes left, but have you heard about
that happens, you can always do Taylor for president too.
There you go. But have you heard about FEMA in southern Michigan, the six counties? Have you heard about that?
There's 350 semi trailers loaded with equipment and supplies that are being parked. Yeah. Apparently it's got something to do with an airfield, possibly a prison.
There's an airfield involved, yes.
And possibly, but they're saying that, and which makes no sense, that we're going to park supplies out here and store them, because the local townspeople got very upset. So Detroit News and a bunch of places out of Detroit immediately went out and investigated, naturally got lied to by FEMA.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious, too, why there's
350 semi-trailers loaded with different things parked out there. What I want to know, Doug, what are those different things? What's in those semi-trailers? Give me a warrant. Let me pick a few and let me look around. Because I won't just open the door and go, oh, okay, those are blankets. No, we're going to take everything out of the trailer and see what's up front. This might be armament for all the people they brought in. This is what we have to look for. Strange things. And I could, you know what? Think about that. If you had a million people that came over the border that are ready to start going out and killing Americans, you could have semi-trucks full of rifles, Stinger missiles, all kinds of stuff. I stop and think about it. You don't know what's in those trucks. It doesn't make sense. There's just 350 of them parked out there. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Again, yeah, that involves six counties, and it stretches across southern Michigan. And you have to ask yourself, like you were saying, you know, what's it for? There's going to be transparency. And I believe there's a huge problem here. I don't think this is any kind of exercise or preparation for anything. I think this is more of an offensive maneuver as opposed to something defensive, and prove me wrong. I mean,
it's like it's go time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you cannot amass, I don't believe you can amass that many assets and that much material.
And if they are, Doug, why are they not in North Carolina?
Well, they would be helping. There you go.
Or any of the places that got hit down there. What are you doing in Michigan? Why are there tractor trailers loaded in Michigan? Is there a storm coming?
Average person, it doesn't make any sense unless you think about the nefarious nature of really what's going on.
And that's the thing. We're very familiar with the government and the nefarious thing they've done over the years and the disguises they use to do it.
There it is. And this, to me, is a big disguise. We're going to be keeping our eyes on this. Randy Taylor has got his fingers on the pulse up there, up north of us, where I sit in Michigan. And you know what? We're going to be getting to the bottom of this over the next couple of days. And I appreciate Randy Taylor. RT, I know you got to bounce, got to cut you loose. I appreciate your time tonight. I really do.
I have one last thing to say.
Go.
That is, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
There's a book here. All right. This is a fantastic book. The Dark of Night, Blood of the Innocent. Doug wrote this book. This is the perfect Christmas gift for the people that you can't shop for. You can't figure it out. $19.95. It's on Amazon. Just go on there and look up Doug Hagman if you forget the name of the book. Look up Doug Hagman, 1995 paperback. This is fantastic. Do it. I'd like to see a bunch of these move by Christmas time. Okay?
I appreciate that.
And he's got to make room, too, because he's got a new book coming out. So
that's right.
Start grabbing them up before they disappear.
Randy Taylor, thank you.
Thank you for having me on here tonight.
No, man. I appreciate you coming on and us talking about current events. My goodness, we have no shortage of things to talk about. Right. My brother, I'll talk to you soon, and we'll set something
you
up. And
I'll catch you on the flip side.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Doug. Good night, Eric.
All right. God bless you. All right. Folks, that was Randy Taylor. Follow him on X, Randy Taylor _USA on X. And of course, rt@agmanpi.com if you want to send him an email. The guy is a workhorse, and I'll tell you, he's doing a lot of good that you'll never hear about. So anyway, coming up here next hour is Austin Brower. Before I get to that, you know, let me tell you something about, about your internet privacy. Now, you may think, okay, I've got ad blockers, I've got this, I've got that. You know, this past summer, I think it was, some of the world's most famous celebrities and billionaires and others, high-profile people, they were angry because the internet used apps to stalk the flight routes of their private jets. That was this past summer. I don't know if you remember that. And with those apps, anyone could track their favorite celebrities' flight routes in nearly real time. And that also extended to other modes of travel as well. Now, Congress did make some legislation that made that illegal, allowing the rich and famous to anonymize their jet setting and making it very hard to track them. But you and I, we're different. We don't have that money, right? We don't have the money that they do, for quite frankly. And I've got to say that's, that ain't a good thing. It's not a good thing. So we have to do something to protect ourselves. Folks, go to virtualshield.com/Hagmann. That's virtualshield.com/Hagmann. Do that right now or after the show. And Virtual Shield, I use it to protect my personal data with today's sponsor, virtualshield.com/Hagmann. Virtual Shield helps protect my private information, my browsing history, my internet activity from cyber criminals, hackers, tech corporations, ISPs, and more. Start browsing the internet anonymously today with up to, I think it's 67 or roughly that much off, and a 60-day risk-free trial period of Virtual Shield by visiting virtualshield.com/Hagmann. Or just simply click a link down under in the description box below. Just do that. virtualshield.com/Hagmann. I'm telling you right now, it's worth every cent. And you're going to find too. Because as much as I don't like it, I do online banking, and I know you guys do too. A lot of you people, a lot of people do. And I get nervous when I'm doing that. I really do. And I certainly, if you're traveling and you're a hotel, you got to protect yourself. So that's the way I go. All right. Thank them. All right. I'm thanking them very much for this. Eric the Tech, I want to publicly thank you for restructuring everything and for doing such a great job. I really appreciate all you've done. Do we have Austin yet or no? All right. So I'll tell you what, would you mind just yelling in my ear when we do have him? And, well, don't yell. Oh, there we go. There we go. All right. Folks, Austin Brewer from healthmasters.com. Have you been listening to his, the Ted and Austin Brewer show? Have you been listening? Have you been, following their reports on events of the day? If not, you should. I got to tell you something else. They've got the best healthcare or the best nutritional supplements on the market, in my view. I use Health Masters every single day. Their Ultimate Multiple just packs a great punch as far as the immune system. Vitamin B. Oh my gosh, the B complex. You talk about energy. The purple sticks. They've got an array of nutritional supplements second to none. And I appreciate the fact that they've got fantastic customer service. And look, when I buy from them, to me, you can't. I mean, there's no store that I've been to that has the quality of the supplements that they have. Health Masters, or for extra credit, their new website, which is not new anymore, but is teamhealthmasters.com. That's teamhealthmasters.com. I like the layout of that, and you can listen to the show as well while you're doing your browsing. So, Austin, thanks for joining me tonight. Really a banner day in terms of, oh my goodness, news, the appointments, the scurrying of the globalist rats, the anger, the anguish, the vitriolic response to the appointments. Man, that's just something today. But having
it's been wild, my friend.
Yeah. Where do you want to visit?
Well, first off, thank you for the awesome words about the new website. I'm very, very stoked about Team Health Masters. And if you're on there, you also can get points on purchases, and you can do the auto ship, which is amazing. You can just set it up so we'll ship you the product once a month, whatever you want. And the Purple Sticks, on sale, product of the week, 20% off right now. Amazing formula. We run them all the time here on the show, and they get you hyped up first thing in the morning.
You know, yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't want to say addicted to Purple Sticks, but I'll tell you what, I can feel the difference. When I do mix one in the morning, it's different. You feel different, you know, and it's not like a coffee high kind of thing. You know, it's a strength, the inner strength, if you will. So I appreciate those, and the fact that they're on sale, how great is that? So thank you for that.
Yeah, and one of the main reasons why is the antioxidant formula we put in them, because we're not just doing a bunch of caffeine. We got the methylated B vitamins that you were just talking about earlier. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to give them a shot, cause especially right now with everything going on, you got to stay charged up. There's a lot happening right now. Today's been a crazy day, like you were saying earlier. I was listening to the show for the last about 45 minutes, and I saw a bunch of stuff earlier with Matt Gaetz and heard about that. And, yeah, this is going to be interesting. I mean, we talked, what, a week and a half ago on this show, right before the weekend before the election, right?
Yeah,
it was about a week and a half ago. So we were kind of putting predictions out there on what was going to happen.
Was it that long ago? It was before the election.
Yeah, it was. It was right before the election. And you were asking my predictions on it, what was going to happen.
That's right.
And, yes. So I'm back on. I was going over my old notes from the show from a week and a half ago. And I was like, well, I mean, it was a landslide. There was no question about it. And so what we're watching now is the rats starting to abandon ship. And we're going to see how this is going to fold out. Do you think they're going to try to prevent him from getting in as far as the deep state, or try to do something weird and nefarious?
You know, I was thinking about that today. I think they have to. That's just my view. I think they have to try, because their paymasters, their controllers are going to demand something. Because if nominating someone is one thing, having them confirmed or being put in during a recess, which Tom Massey was talking about, that's one thing. But then executing on the plans, that's something entirely different. They can't afford to allow us to expose and then to prosecute, to go after, to expose, investigate, and then prosecute. They can't afford that. So do I think something's going to happen? Yeah.
Well, I saw the one attorney I was reading earlier about, the letter he wrote to try to pardon Joe Biggs and a bunch of the other January 6th political prisoners. And I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, that would set a precedent if Trump, he allow him to get in and he actually pardons all these individuals. That's going to be a huge step for the Republic, especially the insanity that we saw, like with Biggs and a few of the other guys got 18, 20 years in prison. I mean, that was, you know, there's guys that have done way less time than that are smuggling dope, you know, child trafficking, all kinds of stuff. These guys, they protested. Okay, did some of them do some stupid stuff? Sure. But 18 to 20 years in prison, I mean, it was so absurd that, I mean, if it comes out and Trump really pardons these guys, do you think he'll actually do it?
I do. I don't think it's going to be a blanket pardon for everyone, because I do believe that they are aware of the infiltration by Antifa. In addition to the feds, Antifa was there, and then you've got some assets that weren't charged. But I think that the violent people, mostly non-Trump supporters, I don't think there will be pardons. I do believe, and this is based on some conversations I've had with people close to the situation, I trust they know, because they talk like they know, that there will be definitely pardons or commutations or whatever. But I think it's going to be selective, and it's going to be,
and it should be
vetted. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know. Yeah. So, but I think it's going to happen rather quickly. at least for the majority of the people already being held as political prisoners. That's kind of what I'm getting. And look, my source could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I think that will be pretty much the first week of a Trump presidency. And let's hope.
I brought some stuff up on our show today about, you know, they're kind of already starting to distance themselves from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Do you think they're going to start doing that because of how anti-pharmaceutical company he is?
You know, I think RFK is going to serve in a capacity that's going to have a very narrow mandate. That's my belief. And when you look. I think that's going to take some time to find the, you know, level watermark. That's my assessment of that relationship.
So, well, I mean, he's brought so much up about the vaccines and he's so adamant against them. So I'm really curious to see if Big Pharma is going to allow him to be put in a position where he can actually, you know, push what he wants and question a lot of the stuff. Cause there was an article that came out earlier this week, I covered it on our show, and it sets a huge precedent. I sent it to Eric earlier about the jury awards $12.6 million to the woman fired for not receiving the COVID vaccine in Michigan for essentially they declined her religious exemption. The religious accommodation process was essentially declined. That was what I told a lot of people when it was going on. I have a strongly held religious belief. They declined it. They said, nope, you're being terminated for it. And now a jury has found basically the Blue Cross Blue Shield illegally discriminated against her. That was a huge, huge precedent this week. And I think that can really start moving forward with a lot of other lawsuits, which I told people when it was going on with COVID. You put down, you have a strongly held religious belief in a company or business, starts telling you, you still have to get this experimental shot. Dude, I knew it was going to set a big step for this. And so $12.6 million for this lady. I saw her name up here earlier, Lisa Domsky.
Yes, I did see that. And thanks for sending that too. But I saw that and I thought of you and I wanted to ask you this question. She said no. It's against my faith. Okay. And of course she was terminated. But my question to you along those lines, but a little different. Are we going to see, how can I put this? Because are we going to see a bigger die-off this year, well, the end of this year through next year because of the boosters and the initial jab and so on? Are we going to see more of a sudden death the population decreased because of the jab? Are we going to see something?
It's already started. I mean, especially in the cancer rates have gone through the roof. Cardiovascular problems have gone through the roof. I mean, they're all ticking up. The problem with it is that a lot of this stuff is completely unrelated on paper. So when somebody comes in and they have a cardiovascular problem or they're having issues with blood clots or whatever it may be, they're never tying them to the vaccine. They're never asking them, you know, are you vaccinated or any of these other questions? So there's no way to tie them together. But yeah, I mean, the cancer rate with the turbo cancers, we've seen that explode. That's why we've been pushing and encouraging everybody to make sure you're staying up on your D3. One of the good friends we have, he basically had cancer again. It's come back the second time. He had the shot, and we asked him the other day. I said, well, what's your D3 levels? No idea. Didn't even have him on the paper. Doctor never even tested him for him. And they already started him on chemo again. And so I really encourage people, really, really, really make sure you're checking your blood work every 6 months and make sure you're checking your D3, because that is a crucial, crucial hormone in the body that makes a huge, huge impact when it comes to the immune system and fighting off a lot of this stuff, especially if you've had the shot and you were forced to get it and you complied with it. That's a huge thing to make sure you're staying stocked up on. And the spike protein survival kit with the E, the N-acetylcysteine, those formulas are really, really good as well for detoxing the body and maintaining proper lipid levels and, you know, vascularity and vascular health in the body.
So the kit that you, the assembly of product that you have, you would say, look, if you took the jab and you want to detox from it, here's what we have here. This will help. That's what you're saying?
Yes, this is a very basic, simplistic formula that has the E, the N-acetylcysteine, and also we threw in the natokinase, which also helps with blood viscosity and preventing blood clots from really forming severely. So it's primarily designed to support healthy cardiovascular health and detox the body. If you really want to throw in another formula, the GHI cleanse, the protein formula we have, that adds a fantastic just daily supplement, food supplement as far as meal replacement that you can throw in with it. Because one of the biggest things we've watched is the blood clotting and the cardiovascular problems that are continuing to occur with the spike proteins and building up in the body with the red blood cells and causing these clots. And that's in my opinion, and a lot of other doctors' opinions that are way smarter than I am in that topic, they are contributing a lot of this issue with the COVID shot because they're seeing a lot of these, go back and forth hand in hand. And so that's what we recommend. We've seen good results from it. But again, you've gotten the shot multiple times, I think you should start taking preventative measures. It's at least my opinion.
Well, this will be the third year. Yeah, the third year in a row that I've given for Christmas gifts. I have given out the various products to mitigate any damage or the damage from the injections. It's a family members. So they expect that. Folks, look, it's really a gift, a thoughtful gift. And think about that because Christmas is not that far away. And if you care about the people that did take the jab, of course, this will help them. And even if you didn't or they didn't, hey, I'll tell you, the gift of nutritional supplements, very thoughtful. And very important for our physical and, I should add, mental well-being. So do that. Thank you for putting the kit together. And yes, the vitamin D levels, I've had for the last, I don't know, 2.5, well, in the last 3 years, I guess, because I do get my levels checked every 6 months. All of them, my entire blood work. I noticed at one point my vitamin or my D levels were very low. Your product brought up those levels really fast because I had some issues and it was like a month and a half, 2 months later, I was retested after taking D. My D levels were above normal. So makes a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a very strong formula. It works great. I've seen it. Have fantastic results in a ton of people. So again, it's something that I highly recommend you stay stocked up on. And if you got any questions, you're always welcome to email us at Team Health Masters. We're always here. We answer all of our emails. If you email us and you haven't seen a response yet, make sure you check your spam because we've had that issue in the past couple weeks now with a lot of our emails going to spam or our responses. I think we're getting shadow banned again, which doesn't surprise me. But it's just part of the game right now that we're trying to play to keep the information out there for the population to be able to have access to, which they don't want us to have access to this right now.
The censorship problem, we need to talk more about that. We are shadow banned. We've been outright banned, on Spotify. We're banned on other platforms, just totally deplatformed. The censorship is unrelenting right now, and I really think that people need to disengage from the communist platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and all that. And if you got a business, have a Facebook page, fine. But anything else, in my view, no. Don't engage.
There's an article that came out the other day with Elon Musk, and he was talking about how Meta – the company that owns Facebook and Instagram and all of it, he said that the AI is being used specifically to get maximum dopamine triggers out of these young children that are using these social media platforms. They know who they're targeting. They know what they're doing. It is causing this massive addiction in young children right now that some of these kids, they can't come off social media at all. They're literally stuck in it all day. And as soon as they're off of it, they start having all these depression issues and anxiety because that's all they know. So if you have kids, I mean, it's really, really important. You make sure you're watching what they're looking at on social media. I mean, if you even want them to have it, it depends on the age bracket. There's an article we covered on the show earlier this week that showed that screen time in the first 2 years of life is linked to later autism diagnosis. And this was published in Monday JAMA Pediatrics. And it's crazy because they looked at the research and essentially these children that got screen time before age two were a much, much higher increase as far as autism spectrum disorder. And this is happening higher and higher and higher. And it's a problem that we've never really experienced because we're now having this generation that is pretty much getting iPads at birth. You know, for the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, we've watched this. And so we're seeing now all these cognitive functions that are declining. Memory, you know, all aspects of being able to recall certain things even during the day. And then the aspects of not even being able to have a real relationship with their friends and family because they're so wrapped up and being buried in their iPad or their iPhone 24/7, either on social media or games that what they're going to do in the future, how they're actually going to function in businesses and work. I mean, that's kind of a scary factor, but 80% increased risk of autism by age 12, as far as when children essentially start having significant screen time by the first 2 years of their life. That's huge.
Wow. Huge. I'm still trying to process that before age two.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I mean, wow. Okay. Yeah. That to me is the deficiency of parenting today. Okay. I remember when I was, you know, when I was a kid, the big thing back in, you know, my age was, hey, you know, you can't watch TV all of the time or, you know,
exactly.
Now it's like you can't get away from the screens, the TVs, the social media. If, you know, once you find it, it has addicting qualities. And I've seen adults, fall for this. So yeah, it's something that we really have to watch. We really do.
Well, yeah, we've seen now too so many issues with the younger generation is getting all their media and all their essentially, I don't know, aspects of daily knowledge of what's happening worldwide from social media clips like TikTok and these 5, 10, 15 second clips. And they're becoming so wrapped up in it that that's all they know and that's all the information they're getting. So if the algorithm and the AI is pushing certain topics and certain things into their head, these kids aren't even actually learning what's real life and what's not. They're just learning, basically being programmed by AI and follow what they're told, which is a big problem.
You know, I saw a thread, and I don't recall who the author was, but the advancements of AI and the threat that AI poses, which made me think of a conference in Branson that I attended. Hugo de Garis, just a tremendous mind, talking about the Artilex and about AI and about this unbridled, unfettered takeover. You know, AI is, it's my understanding, AI is almost at par with human intelligence now. In a year, it's going to be like 200% greater. And what happens then when it becomes, I don't want to say autonomous, but certainly a threat, because how can you control that? How can you put that back in this Pandora's box?
You can't. That's the problem. Right now, AI is in data gathering mode. So it's being fed any information it can possibly grab throughout the entire internet world and outside the internet world, whether it be, you know, controlled, you know, cameras, whether it be facial recognition. It's building and building and building and gathering data right now. And what it's doing is it's building profiles on every single person that exists on the globe if it can access to it. I talked to a friend of mine the other day when I was out at the SEMA Auto Show, and they were using AI on these all these different automotive platforms now. And he said the ability for AI to essentially gather data and how it assimilates it and basically can go in. I mean, what it would take a human being 30 days to go in and correlate all this stuff together and put it in different files. AI can do it in a matter of seconds now. So when it starts building data and it starts gathering data, it can build it on billions and billions of people at one time. And once it starts doing that, once it gathers enough data, it can start doing significant predictive programming. It can start figuring out what you're going to do, where you're going to go, who you're going to talk to, what you're going to order, how long it's going to take you, every aspect. And when people go, well, I don't care about that, it doesn't matter. Well, it's going to start mattering when they start using that to control certain facets of your life, certain things you can and can't do. Right now, we're in that position. Like I said, it's gathering data. Once we go to that full-blown aspect where at any point in time, law enforcement or a federal agency can go and click your name, and boom, it will show every single thing you've been involved in, you've looked at, your keystroke, your videos, your songs, your phone calls, everything will be in that file. And that's the spot that's going to start getting really creepy by about 2030. A lot of information is going to be really, really, really available to a lot of individuals, third party, you know, advertisers and marketing, but also to law enforcement and other federal agencies that I think are really going to abuse it, in my opinion.
You know, what amazes me and I don't want to say scares me, but concerns me, I suppose, is a better phrase or a characterization is, you know, as an investigator, I've got access to specific proprietary databases. So I can log on to a database using my credentials. And everything I do is audited, of course, to make sure I'm not, you know, stalking my, doing anything wrong, you know. So
right.
I've got to have a legitimate reason and be able to show that reason. But the amount of information now that is available by these databases, on these databases, has expanded. Think of like a book that has chapters. Well, the social media chapter has expanded to be the biggest part, I shouldn't say the social media, but the information from the social media has become the biggest part of the report. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, if people could see what I'm looking at, and I don't have class, you know, I mean, it's restricted.
Imagine what the NSA has.
Imagine. Exactly. Wow. The privacy is gone.
Well, you know? And here's the creepy part when you take it another step, right? So the information and the monitoring and the AI analysis on us, say you, me, I'm, you know, my late 30s and individuals, 40s and 50s, it's building data on the information they can collect now, maybe some previous stuff. What happens when you start having these young children at age 1 and 2 and their data is being harvested at that early of an age and is continually monitored and filed and pushed through a predictive programming all the way 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old. By the time they're in their 20s and they're adults, the level of information that is going to be available on them and used to be able to control what they do, what you market, how they think is going to be well beyond what anybody can even comprehend. And that's why I've been so adamant about making sure these young children stay off these social media platforms and mainly even a lot of the internet platforms. They don't need them at all, period. You know, a 6, 7, 8-year-old doesn't need Instagram. You know, a 10-year-old doesn't need Facebook. They really don't.
No.
And that's, I encourage a lot of parents to really allow their kids to grow up and live, learn how to be kids and not be so indoctrinated with all this garbage now on social media.
You know, I don't think we'll ever go back to that time period where, you know, you ride your bike, you come in when the streetlights come on, you know, you play with the neighbors, you know, you're out there playing, you know, pick up baseball, whatever it might be. I don't think we can go back to that time.
Yeah.
I really think the best answer is don't leave that time and become immersed in screen time and social media. I just don't. So I'm 100%, you know, with you there. Let me ask one question here. We see threats right now, specifically regarding Russia, regarding Ukraine and Russia, the U.S., the U.K., you know, allowing perhaps Ukraine to, or giving them permission to use long-range missiles to strike targets inside Russia. That's on an international level problem that we've got. We've got the dollar that's just barely hanging on. You've got an out-of-control Fed. You've got $1 trillion every 100 days just servicing the interest debt. It's untenable. Out of all the problems that you see, what concerns you the most, if I can pin you down to one thing?
Well, I think, you know, the dollar, everybody understands the dollar is the world's reserve currency, is on its way out at a certain point. Nobody is arrogant enough to think that will last forever. Every single reserve currency has always had an endpoint. U.S. won't be any different. So I think a lot of people are kind of bracing and hedging for a lot of that. That's why you see gold and silver and, you know, certain metals that have held and started to go up significantly in the last 2 years. My biggest concern, I think, right now is during this big transition phase over the next 2-3 months, is the deep state trying to do something in order to stage an event, whether it be a false flag, whether it be a blaming on, you know, MAGA supporters, whatever they want to do, to try to do something significant to really prevent that transition of power happening. Granted, I think Trump, you know, I think he's compromised on a few things. Honestly, I think, you know, some of the people he's already been picking, I've been questioning. But on the backside of it, I think they're scrambling because they know he's not going to be able to be manipulated like, you know, the bumbling buffoon Biden looking for his ice cream. So that's my opinion. I think in the next 2 months, maybe 3 months, you're going to see something really weird happen. I don't know. I'm just predicting that. Another concern of mine is the amount of people we've had come across the border over the last 3-4 years, and those individuals being staged. We already know there's significant presence of drug cartels and overall gangs that have been placed in, oddly enough, a ton of red states throughout the, you know, U.S. And suddenly, you know, everybody just thinks that's going to go away. They're talking about mass deportation. That's cool. That's a great concept, especially with people that are criminals. But at the end of the day, how do you start mass deportation on individuals like they had over there in Aurora that were going in and taking over apartment buildings with, you know, AK-47s that they denied? They said it wasn't happening. Law enforcement said it wasn't occurring. But then we saw the video footage of it, or the same thing we saw up there in, where was it, Ohio, Springfield, Ohio, yep. You know, where the Haitians completely took over that city in a period of last year, year and a half. How do you just backtrack from that once you immerse them in the community? That's, in my opinion, I think that's going to be kind of like that Trojan horse that a lot of people aren't thinking about, that may actually be a huge event all across the country all at one time. That's my opinion.
Interesting. Okay. Folks, Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. That's the website, teamhealthmasters.com. It'll be in the program description box, the link to Team Health Masters. Folks, do yourself a favor. Get physically, well, get your supplements now, because we don't know what's going to happen. And as we enter into this very dangerous time period, you want to make sure you've got the supplements for your health before things go south. And I do suspect that we're going to see some things happen, like you said. So, folks, teamhealthmasters.com. That's teamhealthmasters.com. Did you hear about I want to ask you, I don't know whether you heard about this or if this is on your radar at all. The news just recently came out about FEMA, Southern Michigan, the 6 counties up there.
I briefly heard a little bit about it, but I didn't have enough intel to really bring it up because it was, I thought it may have been a rumor. For the last 10, 15 years, we've always kind of seen these random videos of, you know, trains carrying FEMA trucks. We've seen FEMA trucks on the ground, UN trucks on the ground, armored personnel carriers randomly. You know, are those just being transported to certain areas to be shipped out of country? I don't know, but I did hear a rumor about it. Is there any intel that you have on it that's actually valid, you know of?
Well, last hour we were talking about it just briefly. We're going to be drilling down more on it. I know that there was a video, like a 30-minute video report about it. And of course, you know, there was speculation about it, but here's what I do know. There are six counties in Michigan, Southern Michigan, almost draw a straight line. And they're in strategic areas with regard to transportation, airfields and such. There are personnel in one county, and I do suspect this is consistent with other locations across the state. Just a whole lot of things assets being brought in. The security is very, very tight. there's something going on up there. I guess that's what I'm. So we're going to be drilling down on that. And in fact, we've got somebody near that area who is going to be poking around some more to the extent possible.
My aspect on it, you know, what we know with Michigan, the Muslim population that's been imported to Michigan and areas around it from the Middle East that we've bombed and other countries have bombed is enormous. I mean, you got Dearborn, Michigan, that's like almost all Muslim now. So, I mean, that would be very interesting if they start moving certain supplies, certain, you know, containers to that area where you know there's an enormous amount of Muslims that have moved over there. Not all bad, but just they've come from the Middle East. And yeah, I know there's this huge conflict right now with Palestine and Gaza and Israel, and I'm not even going to get into all that tonight. But, you know, when you think about that, if something occurs over there, are you going to see blowback over here as far as with that Muslim group that gets pretty aggressive sometimes when something happens, and then all of a sudden they suddenly break into containers that suddenly have AKs stacked up in them? I don't know. I mean, I find that a very strange place for FEMA to start stacking all that stuff up there unless they know something we don't know.
Yeah. And yeah, no, I, you know, I there are theories out there. Well, the New Madrid fault line. Okay, I get that. But they, to me, you know, when FEMA was created and as it evolved, I mean, FEMA was created in 79 and then it evolved to what it is today. They just don't do this without a specific reason and purpose. And I think when you look at this, not in the vacuum of FEMA, but in the entirety of what's going on nationally and internationally, I do suspect this is more of a, best way I could describe it would be more of an offensive position that they're taking against the American people. They're not there to help us. They're there perhaps to, you know, do something to quell disturbances or do something, incarcerations or whatever. So I'm very concerned about this. But, you know, again, while we have all of the news going on, oh, the, you know, the election, the nominations. Yeah, we have to keep our head on a swivel because there's other things happening that are unrelated to this or perhaps tangentially related. So,
No, there's no question about it at all. Now, I saw the article earlier this week. I didn't really know much about it. I haven't done any research on it. So, you know me, I'm a big fan of the EPA. that former Representative Lee Zeldin is going to be heading the EPA. Is he any good? I haven't done any research on him. Or is he just another scumbag that's going to be to take everybody's pawns from him?
You know, I took some notes, and when I say this, I typed some out, I guess is the best way to describe it. And I'm just trying to find it right now. But I think you're going to have the biggest problem with, I think, federal government, especially the EPA or the regulations, the oppressive regulations, for nothing, you know, or for misguided purposes. And I think
they're the worst, the absolute worst.
Yeah.
They put so much invasive stuff out there and say, oh, well, now we've declared that your rainwater pond is now a lake and you have to be moved off the property. And then they have the stuff with the vehicle emissions now, which I love the most, where they have the Ford program with 92P, where they sell diplomatic trucks, brand new Super Duties, 2024 Super Duty diesels. They send them to military complexes. They send them out of country. They allow them to drive in the United States with diplomatic tags with zero emissions, no DPF, no EGR, nothing on them, right from the factory from Ford. But if you take a pickup truck and you delete the diesel exhaust filter on it, it's a felony. And if you try to trade it in, the vehicle's basically worth nothing now. The dealer can't even touch it. If they do, they get fined tens of thousands of dollars. So when you start having this rules for thee but not for me crap, that's where I really get irritated with a lot of these agencies because it's out of control with them, man. It really is.
I'm taking a wait and see approach to that because we really have to rein in the bureaucracy that's out there that's stopping us from forward growth and, you know, the oppressive nature of these bureaucracies. We've got to stop it. So I'm kind of okay with the appointment. frankly, I'm better than okay with Matt Gaetz being Attorney General.
He's been involved a lot as far as really calling some stuff out. So I hope he continues that. Aspect of his attitude and his demeanor of really pushing, because that's what we need, people in that position that's going to ask questions, and it's just going to be, oh, well, Pfizer told me everything's good here, so we're just going to pretend this didn't happen, and all the other stuff we've seen now before with the AG.
You know, and I think when you look at all of the appointments in the context of national and international events, the fact that you have the response internationally, especially by the, you know, by the globalist, World Economic Forum and CFR and so on, nationally, the Trilateral Commission and the globalists embedded here, the reactions, I gauge the, potential success of the appointment by the reactions of the enemies to freedom.
That's true.
You know, so I'm looking at like Matt Gaetz, boy, right over the target. Tulsi Gabbard, it's kind of interesting, but okay. Kind of wait and see kind of thing. Ratcliffe, of course. You know, so all of these appointments, I think, can be measured, in my view, by the response of the enemy. But, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see on, like, the EPA and some other things.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, that my biggest aspect as far as what we're going to see happen with the FDA as well. I mean, the FDA is so far out of control what they've been doing with the vaccines and the pharmaceutical companies. And, I mean, like, the other day I saw, I think it was the FDA, the USDA, one of them, they basically recalled 80,000 pounds of butter from Costco because on the label, it didn't say contains milk, butter from cow. 80,000 pounds has to be basically eliminated. And then you saw all the aspects of where they came in and said there was like, what, it's been 10 or 13 or 10 or 11 million pounds of beef and chicken products as far as food products that have had to be recalled now because they allegedly may have contained listeria in one of the batches. So, you know, recall it. 11 million pounds of beef and chicken. When you start seeing staple food products like that randomly get recalled for no legitimate reason and nobody can verify it, but the FDA tells Pfizer, oh, you tested the newest booster on 10 mice? Oh, and it worked great on 10 mice for 30 days? Dude, approved, rubber stamp, everything's approved. It's like everybody gets a shot. It doesn't matter if it works or not. It's like they're Oprah of vaccines. It's insane. And so it's like that's a real big agency that I really want to see something get lit up on is the FDA because they're out of control.
They are. And I was even I was looking at some information. I would not even at this point get my dog vaccinated. And some people might say, oh no, that it's different. Man, I'll tell you something. I don't think so. But then that's a different story. But yeah, I think the it's going to be interesting with the FDA, how that plays out. And I think we're going to have to see. Because all, you know, look, we can, how many times have we, put our hopes on a person or, you know, Congress or whatever, only to have them stomped and tossed. I'm tired of that.
It's happened more times than I can count. And I mean, when you have an agency like the FDA that just has a revolving door with Big Pharma and everybody goes back and forth, I mean, and you realize, I mean, how compromised does it have to be for everybody to start asking questions? When you start having the FDA come in like they did during COVID and said N-acetylcysteine, NAC, which we've seen great results with our formula on that. The NAC reduces lung inflammation, helps detoxify the body. It's an incredible formula. The FDA suddenly comes in and goes, well, we're figuring out if we're going to basically schedule NAC and allow pharmaceutical companies to start manufacturing it. And you're not going to be able to sell it as a nutraceutical product anymore. It's going to be a pharmaceutical drug. And I'm like, What do these guys do? They just sit around the dumb idea factory and try to come up with stuff to make themselves relevant. But then shots come out with RNA gene therapy technology, and they get rubber stamped every time they come through without any significant testing. So like I said, the FDA, they're so far compromised, they've got to be questioned. They've got to be brought to heel very quickly, or else nothing's going to change very much in this country, because big pharma and the banks essentially run the government right now. As sad as that is to say.
Wow.
No, and you're
correct. Your references or your statements about the dollar, about the financial side of things. And yeah, you know, I am concerned that you have people who are really out of control. I feel like I'm overusing the word globalists now, attaching themselves to this particular administration. That does concern me, you know,
absolutely,
you know, with the Fed and all that. So, you know, why not just, do away, for example, with the Fed, as opposed to trying to reform it? Why not do away with, I guess we might have an issue with the FDA, but certainly we can pare it down to something more manageable. You know,
and Elon Musk has even brought that up. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but he's stated multiple times that, you know, there's so much bloat in the federal government, and there's so many agencies that have so much fat in them where they're just hiring all these people just because their budget goes up. So they find another position to put another moron in, and then they give them autonomy to start doing these things. And these agencies, the thing that nobody seems to get anymore is these agencies work for us. They're paid by us, our taxpayer dollars. That's the concept that I eluded people during this whole vaccine alleged pandemic. As far as from the shot, we had our money stolen from us via taxes and then given to Pfizer and Moderna. Our tax money paid them to design and build these vaccines by tens of billions of dollars. So they took our money, gave it to Pfizer. Then they said, by the way, Pfizer, all this stuff that we gave you, all this money we gave you to build this vaccine, we're also going to give you immunity. So nobody's going to be able to hold you accountable if the vaccines maybe kill people. So don't worry about it at all. And then they came in and said, oh, by the way, the vaccine that we paid for with your taxpayer dollars, that's immune from any type of, you know, oversight, any type of, you know, regulations as far as when it comes to financial repayment if you're, you know, injured. Those shots, you have to take them now. You're forced to take them. We're either going to arrest you, we're going to fine you, we're going to throw you out of the business, we're going to prevent you from owning a business, we're going to prevent you from having a job. Your kids aren't going to be able to go to school if you don't get the shot that you paid for with your taxpayer dollars that they're exempt from any side effects if there's any problems. That concept, and I know like I kind of rambled on with that, but that concept is so far-fetched. And people wonder, why don't you trust big government? Dude, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do 1 + 1 = 2 with this situation at all.
I totally agree. And you know, just thinking about big government in general, and especially the left, the communist left, and I cannot separate that communist element from the left. You know, for example, what happened in New York with Peanut and Fred. Okay. People have mentioned, have talked about that in the context of, you know, they're horrified that a squirrel named Peanut and Fred, a raccoon, were euthanized and tested for rabies. Well, squirrels don't get rabies, but nonetheless, it's not about a squirrel and a raccoon. It's about government overreach. So the same concept is, to me, is pervasive throughout the government agencies, including and especially the FDA. The FDA, you talk about overreach over the last couple of years, along with the CDC and NIH, and it's crazy. And NGOs that were part of this.
Hey, don't forget the ATF boys, too.
That's 100%. And, you know, man, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, promises are made, but will they be kept? Look. You know, I'd like to think that we're charting a new course right now, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I can feel it in the air. There's a change, but can we execute on that change? You know, that's
and can we retain it? That's also the aspect too. You know, if we actually do elicit change and things do happen, are we going to retain them, or are we just going to get complacent again and kind of let stuff go back to the way it was? If there's any aspect of resistance or conflict, that was the concept that was so strange to me during COVID. And we've had this discussion for years back now with like the mask mandates. It's something as basic as that, where you had the CDC say you have to wear a mask if you go here. And people just said, okay, I'll go along with it. And there's been numerous other incidents with that exact type of scenario. And so the question is, it sounds good on paper. People are excited about it. This has happened. This has happened. These appointees, some of them are decent. But are we actually going to stand up and push back if the things don't go through that we want to have happen? Because that's the thing that I feel like so many people have lost now, is their drive to actually stand their ground. It's easy to run your mouth and say, okay, we're going to just hope this happens. But when it comes down to brass tacks, you're saying, hey, this is what we're going to have to push in our county, our state, our city. We're not going to be able to go along with this. We're going to push back. There's going to be some significant pushback from what's happening right now. If anybody thinks it's going to be easy, it will not be easy at all. These guys are dug in. They're in trenches, and they are not coming out without a fight. That's just a fact, Doug. And I mean that figuratively, obviously. I'm not citing violence.
Well, no. And I'm glad you mentioned, too, the city, the county, the state levels. You know, we tend to think on a federal level all of the time. But, boy, we have a lot of fight that we've got to do. I mean, you know, root these people out, because they're here locally, their ideology. And one of the promising things, back to now federal, I guess, one of the promising things is the fact that the taking away the accreditation of the universities, I heard today, that are pushing this woke ideology or DEI practices. That gives me a lot of hope, and I hope that people like us can carry the ball on a local level for our schools here, you know, or wherever you might live. So I think that's – I really think
speaking of that, I didn't send this article to Eric. I should have sent it to him. This is big down here in Florida. This was like, I think, last week right after the election. It's from LifeSite News. It says Florida has removed over 4,500 – LGBT sexually explicit books from schools last year. Of course, the mainstream media reports these numbers, saying that Ron DeSantis he's burning books and he's banning books. And what's crazy about it, when they actually looked at the numbers on it, they reported that over these 4,500 books that have essentially been removed from schools, primarily elementary schools, by the way, they said that essentially, where's the numbers at here? 57% of the books that were removed had sexually explicit or sex-related content in them, in those books, in elementary schools. Why in the world do elementary school libraries need to have sex and sexually-related content in their books at all, ever, for any reason whatsoever? So when you hear these numbers and you hear these hardcore leftists go, DeSantis burning books down here in Florida, no, they're pulling out some really perverted books that do not even need to be in any school library whatsoever. If you want to go do that as an adult and look at that, that is your thing. But putting those books readily available for 7, 8, 9 year olds to go look at and check out in a library, that's nauseating to me. So yeah, down here in Florida, it's been getting very aggressive with this. And so there's so much flack right now in the mainstream media down here in Florida, where they're just blasting everybody. Oh, they're book burning. They're banning books. I'm like, no, we're not. We don't want porn in second grade libraries. Give me a break, dude. I mean, it's not a difficult concept.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because when you drill down into societies, different civilizations, societies that have gone through these revolutions, the communist takeovers, there's always a culture rot. Now, I look at those books not as books, but as weapons of war, of ideological warfare. And we need it's not a book burning. Take the books, get them out of away from the young children, because they're being targeted. So we have to look at those as weapons of war. And any person out there, you know, generally they've got tricolor hair with a ring through their nose, you know, tongue piercing. Okay. Yeah. Look, you've got, in my view, we have to stop these people from the indoctrination of our children. And we can do that on a local level, and better do that on a local level if we expect this to be done on the federal level. We're about 5 minutes out from the end of the show. I want to just tell people, folks, look, I take all my nutritional supplements. Whether it's the daily multiple or whether it's B12, D3, K2, as Austin was talking about, I get them all from Health Masters. Go to teamhealthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com. That's their new website. If you like the old one, that's healthmasters.com. But Team Health Masters, and load up on your supplements. And you know what? Again, I give these out as Christmas gifts. I suggest you do so as well. But at the very least, order now to make sure that, hey, whatever happens down the road, you've got this. And you may think, well, it's really not that necessary. Oh, yeah, it is, because you can tell. I can tell the difference. TeamHealthMasters.com. And while you're there, make sure you tune in to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. So I hope. You know, I hope people, folks in the chat, look, I do practice what I preach. I don't have it with me. I usually have a bottle of B12 I carry with me, and vitamin C, but I don't have either. They're in my office. But folks, I practice what I preach. So please do yourself a favor. Switch. If you haven't done so, switch to Health Masters. And if you are ordering from them, order more to make sure you have enough. About 4 minutes.
Oh, HR5. I activated the coupon too. I just got it up. So it's perfect. Active on Team Health Masters and Health Masters. And you can use it on pretty much all regular sale items. The only thing it's not available on a lot of it is the purple sticks, because these are already on a huge 20% off sale. So if you want to use the coupon on all regular price products, grab some stuff, stock up on it. Because at the end of the day, and you know this as well as I do, Doug, you can only be as effective as you feel. If you don't have the energy and you don't have the motivation, the drive, it's very hard to be super effective in trying to do anything and stand up for anything that you're pushing for. So, I mean, having the energy, having the mental acuity, having the cognitive functioning, it is crucial for that. And that's why I encourage everyone to really stay stocked up on nutrients, at least having a month to 2 month supply. Because quite frankly, the way things go half the time now, you never know what's going to happen at any point in time. You really don't anymore.
Sadly, that is the truth. And, you know, we, please, folks, I always used to kid around and say, I can't afford to lose any more listeners. I don't say that anymore because, well, I can't. But, you know what, it's not something to fool around with. This is deadly serious, especially with everything out there.
It's not a joke anymore. It's getting strange. It has been for the last couple of years now.
Man, yeah, and I saw something, and I don't know, and we got about a minute and a half left. Is there some, was bird flu or something found in a human, I guess, in the Northeast U.S., or did you hear
there's
anything
been
about
a couple
that?
Cases. There's been multiple cases now that they've picked up on throughout the United States. I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, maybe 7. They keep coming up with these random numbers that somebody allegedly tested for bird flu on a PCR test, and they're around a bunch of chickens. How accurate these PCR tests, we already kind of know how inaccurate they are. But yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not surprised. They're already working on vaccines for that virus. I'm not going to be surprised if they try to release something the next couple months to try to, I don't know, sabotage what's going on in January, or if it's just going to be something that's going to lead into next year to try to cause as much chaos as possible. I don't know, but I won't be surprised. So I always tell people to keep your immune system strong and ready for anything.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm a big believer in. I think we could have probably prevented the severity of illnesses and maybe even some death with proper supplementation. You know, I really do.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we encouraged everybody to get on the supplements, and the ones that did stayed really strong. And the best thing to do is stay out of the hospital unless you absolutely have to go, because they tried to kill everybody with remdesivir. That wasn't a joke at all.
Run, death is near. Yeah, remdesivir. All right. Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code. I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight, and a wide range of topics. And you kind of threw me. For some reason, I don't know. The election seems like 100 years ago in my head. I mean,
yeah.
And I thought we had talked.
We were on right before it.